Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 9. There is a future. I don't know if you believe in your future. Who is left among you that saw this house in our first glory? Now, this is God talking. There was a previous house built by Solomon. And that house was sophisticated. That house had the best of building materials, the best of gold, the best of stones, the best of everything you can think of. And everyone enjoyed that house. That house took 7 years in building. Solomon invested his skill, his wisdom, his knowledge, his wealth into that building. And when that house was dedicated, everyone was excited. And of course, it was one of the best things Israel had. And no one wants to lose his best. No one wants to lose what is working. No one wants to lose what is good. But some years later, the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem, took men captive to Babylon, and destroyed the walls of Jerusalem and broke down that beautiful temple. And it took them many, many years after. Money is no more the way money used to be. Things have become expensive, of course. Solomon is no more alive. And the temple is destroyed. And after many years, they came together again and decided to build another temple. But this time, they hadn't enough money. This time, the sophistication was no more there. But they managed to put a structure together because they needed a place where they can have worship. So they erected another temple. On the day of dedication, the Bible says, the old men who saw the old temple, they started weeping. The young men who never saw anything, it was going to be the first temple they had seen. They were excited. So there was a mixture of joy and sorrow. For the old men that have seen the past, they have seen the beauty, they have seen the big, big things of life. And what they are seeing now is small compared to the old one. They started weeping and weeping. Many times when people enter their morning before the evening setting, when they begin to recall how the morning used to be, they weep so much about their current situation. Look at me. Look at me. A man that used to have more than enough. Look at me begging today. It brings so much sorrow. But I want to assure you that if God did it before, God can do it again. And on that day, as men were weeping and sorrowing, God came and said to them, who is left amongst you that saw this house in our first glory? He said to them, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Could there be some people today that the now of your life is nothing compared to the before of your life. The now of your life, leave tears in your eyes. The now, the current situation of your life, leave much to desire. You're always wishing for those days. Your better days are now in the past. These days, you are barely managing. These days, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And God said, does it not look like nothing? But see what he said in verse 4. He said, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Put in your name there. He said, be strong, O Jacob. Put in your name there. Be strong, O Anephion. He said, Joshua, the son of Jezebel, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, said the Lord, and walk, for I am with you. It might be your evening session, but God said, I'm with you. Things may not be working the way it used to be before, but I am with you. My confidence is not in my prevailing circumstances. My confidence is in the presence of the one that is with me. That's why David said, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, I am with you. Verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remained among you. Do not be afraid. Verse 7. God says in verse number 7. Now, if this is what you are going through, and this is bringing pains and tears, he said, I will shake all nations. Even though this house is not as big as the former one, but I am going to do something that I never did in the big house. I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house. I'm in this small house. I will fill this house. I'm in this house that is nothing to compare with the former house. I will fill this house with glory. There is something of God that when it enters into your small life, that your small life becomes attractive. God said, I may not expand the building. I may not go and bring gold. But there is something I will introduce into your today that will make you forget the better yesterdays. I will fill this house with glory. Ordinarily speaking, the manger is no place that people want to visit. But because Jesus was born in a manger, it has become a center of attraction. There is something that God can put inside a manger, and the who is who in this nation will not rest until they pay a visit to the manger. I don't know whether the level of your life is like that of a manger, but God is going to bring a Jesus to be born in that manger. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 15, it said, although you have been forsaken, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellence and a joy of many generations. I will shake all nations, and the desires of nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 8. And when I do so, he said, the reason is because the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Verse 9. The money you are looking for, the dollars you are looking for, they are all mine. And I like this. This is the future we are going. He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Let somebody shout amen. Amen. The glory of this latter house. Your today will certainly be better than your yesterday. God said, I'm going to do something. I will do a little shaking. I will touch some hearts. I will touch some organization. I will touch some individual. I will pay a visit to some companies. And when I am through with that, the glory of this, your house, shall be greater than the former. And in this place,
I will give peace. Somebody say, I have a future. Shout it again, I have a future. Let the devil know it. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what the devil is throwing at me. I have a future. Men may call me barren today, but I have a future. They may call me poor today, but I have a future. They may call me a nobody today, but I have a future. I may not look like a star, but I know that I have a future.
I know that I have a future. I may not look like it, but I know that I have a future. Job chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 9. Job chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 9. For there is hope of a tree. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down. There are trees that have been cut down. There are businesses that have been cut down. Some things are no more the way it used to be with you. But the cutting down of a tree is not actually the end of that tree. The Bible said there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Lift up your hands above your head. I pray over you today. Whatever has been cut down in your life, that is not the end of the story. Oh, come on, I'm talking to someone here. It might just be you. Maybe it might be your neighbor. Whatever has been cut down in your life, that is not the end of the story. Because God said, I shall announce to you, there is a future. There is a future. There is a future. You used to be strong before and now you are weaker. That is not the end of the story. You used to have a job before but now you are jobless. That's not the end of the story. You used to be able to pay fees before but now you are managing to pay fees. That is not the end of the story. There is a future. Verse 8. The Bible says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, he said in verse 9, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth buds like a plant. There is a tree that is looking old. There's a tree that is looking as if its own lifespan is over. The Bible says, when there is a little drop of water on it, that tree shall blossom again. This year, 2022, I call for water from the fountain of water to be supplied to that your root that is already drying up, to that your branch that's already drying up. Let the fountain of water release water in your direction. Let it release water in your direction. That tree that is looking like a firewood, if that tree senses water, that tree will blossom again. You may look like somebody that nobody can depend upon anymore. You may look like somebody that cannot be called for a meeting anymore. You may look for like somebody that is no longer important. In fact, some of your friends, they have left you. They have said, well, we don't need him anymore. His time is far gone. I have come in the name of the Lord and I declare over you, there is hope for you. I said, there is hope for you. If you believe it, jump to your feet and shout a louder amen. Come on, shout it again, amen. Shout for the last time, amen, like a thunder. Don't give up. There is hope for you. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5. Psalms 30 and verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Most times, things are often not the way they first appear. No matter how thick the darkness is, it cannot stay forever. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, everybody, but joy cometh in the morning. There is future. Weeping may endure for a night. Sorrow may endure for a night. Poverty may endure. It is only for a night, but joy comes in the morning. No matter how dark the darkness is, it doesn't stay forever. I'd like you to know, it is not that those who win didn't face the challenges that the losers face, but the difference is that winners, in the face of their challenges, they retain hope for the future. Those who win face the challenges of the losers. But the winners, in the face, in the midst of those challenges, they were undaunted. They retained hope. And they knew that one day, things will get better. Genesis chapter 8 verse 1 to verse 19 is a long reading. But I'll paraphrase some of those verses. There should be hope in your inside. And God remembered Noah. And everything and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth. And the waters were assuaged. In the name of Jesus this year, God will remember you. God will remember that you are still in a boat. It was God that actually told Noah to enter the ark. And they were in the ark for days. And they got tired of the ark. No matter how beautiful a particular face is, a time comes that you get tired, you want another face. That's how life is. They say variety is the spices of life. There's a time that a man begins to pray to be a millionaire. And when the million begins to come, he gets tired of that phase and wants to enter into the phase of the billions. And so at that phase of million, he's no longer happy. He wants something bigger. The Bible said God remembered Noah, verse 2. Noah had been in this ark for many days. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare the rain will not come forever. The Bible said the rain was restrained. God said, let the rain stop. Verse 3. And you know the rain stopped. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. 150 good days. 3 good months. These men were in the ark. The only thing they knew were the 8 of them and the animals that were in the ark. I'm sure that they got tired. God! We are safe. But then our safety can kill us. We are safe. But then we want to find an heir. And in verse 4, the Bible says, and the ark rested in the 7th month. Lift up your 2 hands above your head. Some persons have rested, have fought battles. And they have never rested. The ark rested after moving on the water. The ark rested. Father, today I declare, the Bible says, surely there is an end. Surely there's an end. The wicked shall not reign forever. There are men and women here, families here, that are battled in life. They are battled from primary school to secondary to tertiary. They are battled from when they were single, even now that they are still married. They are battled looking for business, looking for job, and the battle is still raging in their lives. The wicked shall not reign forever. Today, I declare, let there be a rest in your life. Life is not only about battles. Life is not only about war. There is a time for peace. There is a time for rest. There is a time for relief. And I pray over you, 2022 shall be that year that you will rest from your battles. The battles of tears, the battles of lack, the battles of setback, the battles of disappointment that you have fought almost all your life. I declare this year you will rest from the battle. And the ark rested. The ark rested. This movement, this shaking, this disturbance is too much. And the ark rested. Oh, Jesus went through hell. But the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, for the future, because of the hope of the future that he had, he endured the cross. Child of God, please endure the cross. Despise the shame. Let them call you names. But one day, those who call you names, they will attend your celebration. Those that said Elizabeth was barren, they all attended the naming ceremony of her first son. Despising the shame. But now, he's seated down at the right hand. There is going to come a time in your life
that it shall no longer be shame, but it shall be fame, it shall be glory. Look at Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. Hebrews 11, verse 9 to 10. Abraham also, the Bible says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He was dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. In verse 10, for he was looking for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is looking at the future. He's not looking at his current dwelling place. There were tents and tabernacles, but he was looking for a city. I want you to know that God has prepared a beautiful future for you. Yeah. The shame and the reproach of today has nothing to do with the glory that shall come tomorrow. It does not matter what you are currently going through. Always know for sure that there is a future. And that future is a great one. You know, one may ask, but Pastor, you don't even have an idea of what I am going through in life. You don't have an idea of what I must have gone through, what I've been through. Do you think that there is a future for me? My answer is a capital yes. There is a future for you. Why do I know so? Because in the Bible, there's a future for the prodigal son. Your case may be like that of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to verse 24. Who was the prodigal son? He did a lot of bad things, the prodigal son. Oh, he did a lot of bad things. Number one, he separated from his father. Have you separated from God? Used to be a believer before, but now you are no longer a believer. I'd like to let you know that there's a future for you. Number two, the prodigal son spent all he had in a bad way. He finished everything he had in a bad way, but that did not end his life. He still had a future. Number three, the prodigal son lost his sonship at a particular point in his life. Are there people that have lost their relationship with God here? And the devil is telling you there is no way back for you. The devil is telling you, you're already a sinner. Just continue to be a sinner until you die. The devil is telling you, you are too dirty for God to consider cleansing you. The devil is telling you, you have soiled your hand so much that there can be no forgiveness for you. The reason why people die and plunge themselves in sin is because the devil keeps telling them, well, you have gone too far. I don't think that God can forgive you. The prodigal son lost sonship at a particular point. The prodigal son went so far away from his home. The prodigal son became so poor, he became so impoverished that he could barely feed. But despite all of this, one day in verse 17, the prodigal son said, I will arise and I'll go to my father. And when I go to my father, I will tell him, my father, I've sinned against thee and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. The prodigal son carried the leftover of his poorly looking clothes and hung it and was going back. He wasn't sure of what his father's reaction was going to be. But as he got close to his father's gate, the father sighted him from a distance. The father had been obviously waiting for him. And when he sighted him, he rushed to him and embraced him and said, change his garment. Give him a new cloth. Give him a new shoe. Before the prodigal son could say, my father, please make me as a servant. His father said, you remain a son. Get back to your sonship. There is a future. Thank God the prodigal son didn't die. He didn't kill himself. He didn't take his life. And he entered into his future. Why do I know that there's a future for you? Even the elder brother of the prodigal son, for some people, their own situation is like that. For the elder brother of the prodigal son, he was serving his father faithfully. But there was nothing to show for it. There was no party. There was no ceremonies. He was there always. The father said, do this, he will do. Go there, he will go. But there were no change of garment. There was no day shoes were bought for him. Maybe there are people like that are already telling God, God, I've been here. all my life I have served you. I was born into a Christian home and I've been serving you all my life. But God, look at me. I can't even pay my rent. God, look at me. It doesn't appear as though I am a prayer warrior. God, look at me. Are you fair to me at all? The prodigal son, the elder brother came and was complaining to the father and said, I have been with you all these years. You have not even killed a kid for me. But look at this boy. He just came and you have created so much funfair for him. And the father of the elder brother of the prodigal son, he said to him, my son, you have been with me and I know your faithfulness. Everything I have is yours. If you ever ask for anything, it shall be given to you. I'd like you to know, if you have been serving God, God is not a tax master. He knows how to reward those that serve him. There is a future for Jonah. Once upon a time, Jonah outrightly disobeyed God's instruction. He took some of his money and was running away from the presence of God. God accosted Jonah right inside the ship in the middle of the sea and said to Jonah, you're going to do what I want you to do. But Jonah insisted, I'm not going to do it. And Jonah said, throw me into the sea. And God commanded the fish. And Jonah was swallowed right in the belly of the fish. You would think that that was the end of Jonah. But right in the belly of the fish, God prepared a future for him. I don't know where you are. You may be in the belly of the fish. You may have been swallowed. But I let you to know that when the time of God comes, he will speak to that fish, and that fish will not have an option. It will vomit you. And that fish vomited Jonah. And Jonah came out and did what God wanted him to do. There's a future for the thief that was crucified alongside Jesus Christ. He had few more hours to live. But within those few hours, he was able to change his destination. There's a future. Everybody thought his own was gone. He was a thief. He was caught in the act. He was judged. He was sentenced to die on the cross. But right at the cross, he made a way to paradise. He was the first that entered heaven with Jesus Christ. If such a thief had a future, how much more you? There's a future for Lazarus. He was dead, buried. People mourn. You could see Lazarus' posters on all the roads. Gone too soon. Gone too soon. We are sad to announce the untimely departure of our friend, Lazarus. Burial arrangement. Body leaves Bayama Mortuary on a motorcade and will be taken to his family compound. Body will be received by chiefs and elders of his family. And thereafter, interment will be carried out in his family. Lazarus was done, buried, and they wrote on his tomb, rest in peace. 4 days after, the man who owns the future, the man who carries the future, the man who can dictate and color people's future, he went straight to the grave of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out. And he that was dead came out and he said, loose him and let him go. Whatever is considered dead and out in your life, I stand representing the one that carries the future. And I declare that's not the end of the matter in your life. Satan cannot have the final say in your life. He that owns the future has come. There is a future for Samson after his hair is cut off. They remove his hair and he became weak. He became like vegetable. And they caught him, put him in their detention, removed his eyes, turned him to a servant, turned him to a grinder. Once upon a time, a mighty man who could carry the gate of the Philistines on his shoulders was now grinding in the prisons of his enemies. But the Bible says, and his hair began to grow again. Let me tell you, even though your hair has been cut, it will grow again. Oh, the people that cut the hair, they didn't know they would have employed a man to stand by him. Every time that hair grows, they cut it. But they thought that as soon as they took his job, that was the end of it. They didn't know that there is a God who has a compensation plan. He said, and I will restore to you the years that the cankerworms and the caterpillars have eaten. The Bible says, right in the prison, his hair grew again. He wasn't eating good food, but his hair grew again. He didn't have the comfort of his parents. But right there, his hair grew. Your own hair will grow again. Yeah, it will grow again. And when that hair grew, the strength came. And Samson destroyed all his enemies. There's a future for Jacob. He was a cheat. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. And people would have thought that there was nothing good that could come out of him. But that same man who was running away from home because he just cheated his brother. he found a ladder that connected the heavens and the earth. And he saw angels going up and coming down. That was the beginning of change for that man. On that journey, his name was converted from Jacob the cheat to Israel the blessing. And from that day, God gave him a future. I don't know what it looks like with you, but I want to announce to you that there's a future. I'm going to ask you to pray two prayer points very quickly. Let my darkness disappear. Let light come. Let my evening go and let my morning break. Please lift up your voice and begin to turn it into prayer. Lord, let the darkness go. Let my light come forth. Epata shata yagada. Eleto shadia marako palianda sonderi yabaya. Ekatata korabadaba yabada. Mato shataya eketelia. Can you pray and let the Lord hear you? Mabate jete teke 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 de. Let the Lord hear your voice. Meto shadia mege dege 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 dege. Eto shanda rabadama yege dege 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 dege. Alabadama yadodo shalabadai. Ekata yagade mando shianda rabababaya. Egede marosha dia. Ebabababa retetolia barabadama yededea. Egododo egede baradadama ribadaya. Embaladadama ribadama yakosha dia barabada. Edede ekombalia marabadozi yadada. Makatatata karabadaya. Egede marosha ndia marabadaya. Leko potosiataya eto shatala badaya ola badama ya dabarabadagadagadama ya dadaya mondo shatala barabada. In Jesus' name we pray. The last prayer point, I'd like you to pray it violently. Everything that is holding my future, release it now. Oh, the future of Lazarus was buried in the grave. The future of Jonah was right in the belly, was the fissure. The future of something was in the prisoner. I'd like you to command everything holding my future. I command you, release it now. If I were you, I'd pray now. Maladosha katabayagadaya. Lift up your voice and let the Lord hear you. Mededede labaradadama yeko labayabadaya. Ikele marabadama yadadabarabado shatalabaya. Maketegedegedeko rabadama yeto toliyabarabada. Let my future be released. Let my future be released. The belly of the fissure, the prison that is housing my future, whatever is holding my future, let it go. Let it go. Let the Lord hear you. I have a future. The curses in my father's house cannot stop my future. The sickness in my body cannot stop my future. Rekabaya. Etoshatalabadabadaya. Endededededededededededeya. Any man that is placing a curse cannot stop my future. I have a future. And I release my future in 2022. My future in my business, in my academics, in my career. Ababara badaya kadaya. In politics, in marriage. Lord, I release my future.
I release it.
It cannot be in the belly of the fish anymore. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
I want to pray with you prophetically to release that future into manifestation. If you saw Jonah in the belly of the fish, you wouldn't believe that man was a preacher. You wouldn't believe that man had the destiny of Nineveh as a nation. But the fish swallowed him. The future of Nineveh was inside the belly of the fish. Your house, your building that is inside the belly of a fish shall be vomited. Your job that have been buried shall be vomited. Your business that have been covered shall be vomited. The day that Jonah was vomited, that day Nineveh was vomited.
Somebody's living here to go get a job. Somebody's is living here to go receive promotion. Somebody's living here and is receiving a call to come and take the contract. Somebody's living here and your quotation is approved. Somebody's living here and your locked doors are open. They are remembering you in the important places of life. Receive your financial future. Enter into it without delay, without hindrances anymore. The cloak, the darkness is removed in the name of Jesus. I declare the evening is past and your morning has come. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling; Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom; Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting; Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.